Good morning. We are thankful that you're here today. We have visitors today, and we're grateful for your presence with us. I was handed a note by one of the ushers that I need to share with you before we get into our lesson today. This note says there is a white Nissan Quest in the lower parking lot that has one window down. And so if you drive a white Nissan Quest, you may want to go check on that. Grace changes everything. When you understand and you fully embrace the offering of God's grace by trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, your view of the world, the reason why you know or perceive that you are here, and your perspective towards suffering are all radically altered. You see, grace teaches us that the groanings of this life are used by God to bring us to glory. I think often we have unrealistic expectations about what we think God's will is for our lives. I want you to stop and think about it. God's unique, one-of-a-kind, most beloved Son, Jesus Christ, was as blessed by God the Father as anyone ever could be. And yet this one-of-a-kind, unique Son entered this world in poverty. He lived His life without ever a place to lay His head. He died a barbaric death. And so if we expect that God wouldn't let bad things happen to good people, we are ignoring the reality of who Jesus truly is. I think we tend to sanitize the life of Christ. We want to fancy it up and we want to make it all pretty and clean. And yet when you honestly look at the story of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, as it is revealed to us in the pages of the New Testament, you discover something altogether different. It was beneath the starry sky of Bethlehem's plain that the Son of God entered this world into a cold, dirty, hostile stable fit only for the filth of beasts of burden and not for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, the Lord of glory entered human history through the groans of suffering. He lived that way and He died that way. It was through the groans of this life that the Christ came to reveal God's glory that's made possible through God's grace. This morning I want you to remember three words: groans, grace, and glory. You need to know this morning that God's purpose in this life is not to make you comfortable. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus demonstrates altogether that God's real purpose for you and me can be summarized with the words groans, grace, and glory. And those three words are vividly explored this morning in our text, in Romans chapter 8. And if you've got your Bible, or if you don't, and you see a pew Bible in front of you, I would encourage you to get it and to open with us to Romans chapter 8. And our text is found in verses 18 through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18, and we'll be studying together through the end of the chapter. Romans First, the groans of this life. Through all of the groans, we must not lose sight of what awaits us at the end of the tunnel. Verses 18 and 19, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Paul says that the sufferings that you and I sometimes experience in this life are not even worthy to be compared with the weight of eternal glory that is being prepared for and will ultimately be revealed in us at the end of the ages. We spend so much of our lives consumed, focusing upon, worrying about, fearing the groans of this life, and we lose sight of what awaits us. Let's cast our sight away from the groans and let's set our sights on the glory that awaits us. Let us focus on the goal that God has for you in your life and for mine. The purpose of why we're here is to reveal God's glory through us. We need to realize that the shadows of this life are passing. And in comparison, they're like flea bites in comparison with the great power of the glory that God has prepared for you and me. We must let that glory capture our imagination and let the brightness of God's beauty and glory captivate us, because it awaits us. God's ultimate purpose is to reveal to you and me that we are the heirs of God. Verse number 19. But throughout this chapter, Paul continues to talk about how that through this life, you and I encounter the groaning. The entire physical world is groaning. Everything in the world is falling apart. And Christians are groaning about it because bad things happen to Christians and non-Christians alike. But not only is this world groaning, and not only do Christians groan, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God Himself also groans. Look at verses 20 through 25. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage of corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves," Christians, "who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." The world is groaning because the world is in bondage to decay. It's falling apart at the seams, and Christians are groaning because we struggle and we suffer just like everybody else. But the Spirit Himself also groans, and He intercedes for us through those groans, because the Spirit, He's not going to save us from our weaknesses, but He will save us through them. We all groan in this life. It's not a question of whether or not you're going to groan. We all groan, but the question is, how will you groan? Will you groan away from God, or will you groan toward God? If you groan toward God, you will grow through your weakness. But if you groan away from God, you'll shrink as a person. Listen to the groaning of the Spirit And as we see his groans, what we see emerging from the groans is the grace of God. Verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray for as we ought. What to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The grace of God is demonstrated by God sending His Son, first and foremost. We know that God has sent His Son in the likeness of flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, as Paul says here in chapter 8 and verse 3. Jesus Christ is the unique mediator between God and humanity, and He alone secures our salvation and our justification. But let me tell you something this morning. God's grace is not only forgiving through Jesus. God's grace is meant to change you as a person. God doesn't simply want to forgive you of your past and let you go on your merry way. God wants to forgive you of your past and to motivate and inspire you by the power of that forgiveness to change the person, to transform the person that you are. And that is why God, through Jesus, sent His Spirit to you and me as believers to sanctify us. The Spirit intercedes for us in the realm of sanctifying, making us holy, giving us a holy purpose about what God's will is for our lives, and giving us clarity as to why we're here. You see, in our human weakness, when we go through the groans of life, we often don't have clarity. Everything is fuzzy and out of focus, and we don't understand what is the will of God through this. And in times of suffering, in our groaning, we're at a loss. We're puzzled about what is God doing and how should I pray in this situation? Verse 26 says, the Spirit helps us in those moments when we don't know how to pray like we should. And the Spirit intercedes for us with those very groanings that are in our hearts, and He takes them, and He takes them to God, and He intercedes for us. You see, verse 26 says, the Spirit that dwells within believers searches our hearts, and He knows when you're groaning, He knows when you're hurting, He knows when you're struggling, He knows when you're puzzled, when you're confused, when you're struggling with doubt. He knows that, and He takes those groanings of your heart that are too deep to even put into words, and He joins in those groanings. And when we don't know what to ask for in a given situation, the Holy Spirit takes those groans. Listen to me carefully. He takes the groan of your heart, and He filters that groaning according to God's perfect will for your life, and He intercedes to the Father for you. You see, the requests that the Holy Spirit makes to God are always in conjunction with, always in perfect harmony with, God's will for us. Did you notice that in verse 27? He who searches the hearts knows the minds of the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes. Intercedes for the saints when? According to the will of God. This is a graceful action of the Holy Spirit. What does this graceful action mean? When you're groaning, when you're suffering, and your heart is doesn't even know how to put it into words, and you don't even know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit feels within you, feels that groaning, and He groans Himself, and He takes that groaning, and He intercedes to the Father for you. What does that mean? It does not mean that God is going to take away the groaning. It does not mean that you will escape the struggle. It does not mean that the suffering will be eliminated, but rather what it means is that the Holy Spirit will beseech the Father to directly use the groans of your life to grow you and to grow you closer to Him. This is what 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks of in another place. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That verse has been misquoted by many Christians to say that when you're struggling, that God is going to somehow provide a way of escape, and they take that to mean that God is going to remove it. But the latter part of the verse says, no, God doesn't always take away the groan. He doesn't always take away the struggle. But He is faithful to not allow more weight to be put on us than we have the ability to bear and endure it. To endure it. To put up with it. To strain through it. For what purpose? To refine us. To mold us. To grow us. Into what? God gives us His grace through the groans to bring us to glory. Look at verses 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Notice that, according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Let me repeat something I said earlier. And you need to hear it. And so do I. God's purpose for His children is not to make our lives comfortable. God's purpose is that we grow through the groanings of life and ultimately be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, verse 29. Even Jesus Himself, when He came into this world, learned obedience to the Father through the things that He suffered, Hebrews 5 and verse 8 says. He became the perfect founder of our salvation through His sufferings, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Like Jesus, it is through suffering that we are brought to glory. The Spirit is within baptized believers, indwelling us. He is in our hearts to show us what it really means to have God as your Father. God essentially is saying, through all of the throbbing, through all of the groaning, through all of the pains of this life, if you trust Me, I will grow you through it. It's like when a child is first born. Like many of you, like many fathers in this audience, I was present for the birth of my two children. And when you see a child first being born into this world, they don't have a clue what's happening. All they know is that now I was warm and now I'm cold. I'm being slapped around and there's blood everywhere. If only you could communicate to that child that every single thing that is being done for the benefit of the child. But they don't understand it. All they see is the blood and the slapping and the being cold and the uncomfortability and the pain and the struggle. That's all they see. And what they don't know is that all eyes are on the child. And every action that is being taken is for the child's benefit. That is a picture of the Christian life. Look back at verse 22. The creation itself is going to be set free from the bondage of corruption. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. When the Spirit comes into our lives, when we are born of water and the Spirit, according to what Jesus says in John chapter 3, when we're born in again, baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and receive the gift of God's indwelling Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. When the Spirit comes into our lives, it is like being born. And all of the groanings are for a purpose. I don't know if you've ever looked closely. I don't think I had before this week. I don't know if you've ever looked closely at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me just mention it briefly by way of illustration. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh or in the body, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the body has ceased from sin. Peter reminds us here that Christ suffered the days He lived on this earth in His body. And he says, you and I, we should arm ourselves with the same kind of thinking that Jesus had. That when we suffer in the flesh, we will cease from sin. I like what John Smith has to say about this in a sermon he presented called The Will of God in Suffering. Listen to it carefully. The attitude towards suffering has to do with our willingness to accept suffering as an integral part of God's will. Suffering tends to take our minds off of all forms of materialism. When you struggle and when you suffer, suddenly you realize the things in life that really don't matter. And those things are cleared away. And suddenly you're stripped to nothing but realizing what really does matter in this life. Listen to what Elizabeth Elliot wrote. She wrote this: the will of God is never exactly what you expect it to be. It may seem to be much worse, but in the end, it's going to be a lot better and a lot bigger. You say, well, how does Elizabeth Elliot know to say something like that? What does she know about suffering? Elizabeth Elliot was the husband of a Christian missionary in Ecuador who was murdered for trying to share his faith in 1956. Tragedy is something she knew all too well in her life, but she came to realize that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. The groanings of this life, God gives us His grace and tries to teach us and show us that through the groanings, He doesn't take them away, but He will grow us through the groanings and bring us to His glory. Back in Romans 8, verse number 30 says that those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He has justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. When you and I come to the Father through Jesus and we say in prayer with the Spirit groaning with us, in spite of everything that has happened to me in the weaknesses of this life, I know that You are my Father and I want to experience Your love and Your trust. It is in that moment of your weakness that God will grow you. You will be brought out of infancy and into spiritual maturity. As those who live in the Spirit, we all have those moments of weakness like verse 26 speaks of. If you've lived any amount of time at all on this earth, you have had your hours, your days, perhaps your seasons of life that were confusing and inexplicable. Moments of groaning. But God can use all of those groanings of life to work together toward His ultimate purpose for your life, for your ultimate good. Notice verse 28, for His purpose. What is His purpose? His purpose is not to make you and I comfortable in this life. His purpose is to conform us, to mold us, to grow us, to shape us, to refine us into the image of His Son. Verse 29. God does not just want to forgive you of your sins. He does not just want to save you from your past. He wants to glorify you in your future. He wants to make you into the radiant image of His Son. He wants to bring you to glory. Grace, groaning, and glory. God extends His grace to us through the groanings of this life. Not that we would escape the difficulties, but that through the difficulties, we might grow and mature and be glorified. But in all of our kicking and screaming against the pains and the groans of this life, we all too often are short-sighted. We pray that God would remove the pain, and we fail to see sometimes that actually He might be using the pain to make us better than we are. And so we must, if we love God, verse 28, and we truly are called according to His purpose, we must trust Him that all of His actions are actions of love for you and for me. There's an often quoted story that you probably have heard, but I think it illustrates this point so well. Supposedly there was a man who was watching a butterfly that was struggling to emerge from its cocoon. And he noticed that the butterfly had managed to make a small hole in the cocoon, but its body was too large to get through the hole. And after a long struggle, it appeared that the butterfly was exhausted, and it remained absolutely still. And so the man decided, out of his mercy and pity upon this small creature, to take a pair of scissors and cut open the cocoon and release the butterfly. But when he did so, the butterfly's body fell from the cocoon, wrinkled, crimpled, and after not much time, it died. The butterfly was never able to open its wings and fly away. What the man didn't realize, even though he had the best of intentions, is that that tight cocoon, in all of the butterfly's efforts to emerge from that cocoon, it would squeeze out. And through the struggle, it was nature's way of training the butterfly to have wings that were strong so that it could fly on its own. Through all the groans of this life, the grace of God is to teach us, with the help of His Spirit dwelling in us, that the groans are meant to grow us and bring us to glory, to make us realize our potential, to strengthen our wings that we could truly fly. Paul ends this chapter by reminding us that everything that God is doing is focused toward that purpose for you and for me. Everything that God is doing in your life, even in the moments of tremendous groaning, God is trying to use that in your life to grow you to glory. And Paul feels the need to remind us that this is the expression, as difficult as it is for a father to see his children hurting. He knows that we will grow through it if we lean upon Him. And all of this is done out of His overwhelming love for you and me. In the groanings of this life, we need to be reminded that God's grace and His purpose is for our glory. And all that God does for us is out of love for our ultimate well-being. And so Paul ends this chapter with a powerful and poetic section that affirms the unshakable nature of God's love for you and me. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the groans of this life, particularly when the days are hard and the struggles are deep, it is easy for us to lose sight of why we're here and what God's purpose is. God's purpose is never for us to end up here. God is trying to use everything here to make us better than we are and to grow us to a place of glory, to be conformed into the image of His Son. Jesus the Christ came to this world on Bethlehem's plain, born in a manger, laid in a manger, born in a cattle stall, into the crude and filthy environment of a sin-cursed and fallen world. And He lived every day of His life through the struggles, through the groans, but God brought Him to glory and seated Him at the right hand of the Father on high. And God wants that for you too. And He'll bring you to that place if you'll simply trust Him. Through the groans, recognize the grace of God is to grow you to glory. Groans, grace, and glory. This is God's purpose and will for you. Let me ask you, have you become adopted into God's family? Have you become one of God's children? Do you have God's Holy Spirit living within you? If you're uncertain of that fact, let's study together. Talk to me after the service. Let's sit down and have a study so that you can understand from your own copy of God's Word what you need to do to make sure you're living in harmony with God's will for your life. Have you been born again of water and the Spirit? Have you repented of the person that you once were? And have you given your life completely to Jesus Christ? If not, now's the time. If we can help you in that way, if you need prayers of encouragement, if there's anything we can do, you can respond now, and there'll be a shepherd down here to pray with you and let the congregation pray together with you and for you. Or perhaps you need a private prayer and you've got something on your heart and you need to share in private. There'll be two of our shepherds behind those doors right there to my right that'll meet you in private and have private prayer with you. Or if you have any other request, if there's anything we can do to help you realize God's purpose for your life, won't you come and respond to Jesus Christ in His invitation as we stand together and as we sing together?